driven by the love of God. Amen. That's what our Bible school was titled, Driven. And I thank the Lord that he's the one that guides my steps and takes care of me every day, everywhere. And let's pray and I'll get into scripture. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for all your blessings. I pray, Lord, that you'll be with us tonight. Thank you, these that come out tonight, Lord. I pray you'd just bless them and touch them, Lord, for coming. Ask you, Lord, you'd help me stand here and preach, Lord. I don't take it lightly. Lord, this is a sacred desk that I'm standing behind here tonight. And I pray, Lord, you'd just help me, Lord, to preach, that you'd get honor, you'd get glory, because it's all about you, Lord. It's nothing I've done. It's about what all you've done. And I pray now, Lord, you just go with us. Have your will and way. Save that one that may be here lost tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to a real familiar scripture, Hebrews chapter number 12. And if you're able, I'll ask you to stand in reference and reading God's Word. Paul is writing here in verse 1. He says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth us easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, if least he be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood striving against sin." You know, in these first four verses right here, it talks about a cloud of witnesses. You can be seated. We're all supposed to be witnesses for the Lord, every one of us. That's why we're here. You know, you're put here for a purpose. I mean, I am who I am, and you are who you are, and that's the way God wanted it to be. But we're supposed to witness to people and do what we'd have us to do to win souls to people. And I had an opportunity today to witness to a boy at work, and said he never has been saved, and I tried to talk to him, encourage him a little bit. So you pray what I said might help him. I hope it does. But I thought about this. It says, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. I'm glad he's the one that created this world, and he's the one that's going to be taking the world out when he comes back. It says we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. This world's going to be burnt. There ain't going to be nothing left of it. But when he comes back and get us, but we're going to be home with him. We don't have to worry about that if we're saved. And I want to preach on this out of this first verse right here about let us run the race with patience that is set before us. So many of us, we don't have no patience. We want everything right here and right now. That's just the way the world is. And it says to run this race with patience. Now, I want to compare my notes here that I've written down and studied. I want to just compare for a few minutes and use some examples of how a NASCAR driver, when he gets ready to go out and race, and how we as Christians compare to him. And it says here that, when they start a race, they have to prepare. They have to get ready. Well, that's what we need to do. We need to be ready for the Lord to come back, because he's coming any day. It may be tonight, tomorrow. We don't know. We just need to be ready. Amen. But when he gets prepared, you know, there's certain things that he has to do. He has to have a crew chief. And let me say this. The crew chiefs and all the NASCAR boys that drives those cars, they're human. They can make mistakes. But in this life I'm living, I've got the best crew chief they are. His name's Jesus. He don't make no mistakes. He's perfect. Amen. I'm glad for that tonight. I'm glad that we serve a Savior that is absolutely perfect. The only perfect man that ever walked on this earth, and he'll be the only one that ever walked on this earth. There is no perfect man. And they got to get ready. And every time that they strap themselves in that car, they know that they're subject to get killed. It can happen, because it has happened to several drivers. But the main thing is they need to be ready to meet Jesus. They need to be saved. If I was doing that for a living, there ain't no way of climbing that car unless I was saved. Because if you wreck and die and you're not saved, then you're going to hell, plain and simple. I mean, there's no way out of it. And it says here that when they start a race, they have to prepare and be ready. The same thing applies to us in our walk with God. And I thought about this. Everywhere we go, somebody's watching us. No matter where we're at, job, grocery store, it don't make no difference. Somebody's watching you. And if you've got a reputation as a Christian, they're going to watch you more than anybody else, because they're just looking for something for you to mess up. And they can say, well, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be one. That's the way they are. But listen to this. I like this verse, Psalms 37, verse 23. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. You know, we ought to try to walk the way the Lord worked. Now, there's not none of us going to be able to do that, because like I said, we're sinners. We're sinners saved by blood, and that's it, by the grace of God. And there's none of us can do that, but we can strive to do our very best and do our best. And then when we mess up, which I do all the time, I just have to bow my head and say, Lord, forgive me. I've sinned. We're human. We're all going to do it. And I went on here, and I wrote down, I want to compare some things that a driver has to have before starting a race and compare it to us as Christians. Number one, this is real important in our lives and in a race car driver's lives, faith. When he sits down in that car, he's got to have faith that he's going to finish that race and he's going to win it. That's why he's there. To win it. There's no other reason to sit down in that car and win it. And us as Christians, that's what we got to do. We got to remain and keep the faith. Now, this race that I'm talking about running with patience is life as Christians. That's our race. And life's not a bed of roses, folks. It never has been. It never will be. Because we're going to face problems. We're going to face trials, tribulation. But I'll tell you one thing. Jesus is on our side if we're saved. He's a whole lot better than Nationwide Insurance. Believe me. He knows what he's doing. He's God. And I wrote that down in the, you know, he wants to be the best because he wants to finish it and be popular. He said, well, I want it. I'll outrun every one of them out there. That's what he wants, to get recognized. And I went on here and I said, you know, one mistake running that race can take him out of the race. He could have a flat tire and run into the wall, total of the car, and he's out of it. He ain't got no chance. Well, the same works with Christian people. There's one mistake that people needs to make sure that they do not make, and that mistake is to not accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Amen. That's the worst mistake that anybody could do, is reject God. And without him, there's no hope for nobody. I'll be honest with you. I look around today. I go to work and I see people will sit down at the eating table and they don't think a thing about it. They'll just start eating like nothing. I take and bow my head every time I sit there. I don't care if a supervisor is sitting there. I ain't ashamed of the Lord. And I'm going to do that as long as I'm living. But it goes on here that one mistake can take them out. And like I said, that applies to us too. We got to make sure that we're saved. And I wrote down, a driver has to wear a fireproof suit to protect him in case of his car catches on fire in a wreck. Well, he has to have that. One year my wife got me an anniversary present, and I really enjoyed it. She got me one of them ride-along things, Richard Petty Driving School. And we went to Bristol, and they strapped me in that car. And honest to goodness, I couldn't move a muscle. I was froze solid. And we were sitting 120-degree banking, running 120 mile an hour. It didn't scare me a bit. Only thing was, it didn't last long enough. You only got three laps in Bristol. You're talking 15 seconds a lap. But I enjoyed it. It was fun. But they made me put that suit on, just like I was driving and everything else. But let me say this. If you've got the Lord, you've got the fireproof suit. It's the blood covered all over you. It's inside of your heart. It lives inside of us. And there ain't nothing can touch us. If we're saved, we're on our way to heaven. And that boy I was witnessing to today at work, he said, I worry sometimes about dying. And I said, son, I said, if you're saved, you ain't got to worry about dying. I said, give your heart to Jesus. And he had tattoos all over his arms and legs. I don't judge nobody by that. Anybody could be that way, and the Lord will clean them up if they get saved. But he looked at me real funny, and I said, death's nothing. I said, over in Corinthians, it says, death, where's your sting? Chapter 15, verse 51, I believe what it is. But I hope I said something to encourage that boy. And then I wrote down this, us as children of God, we have that fireproof suit, like I said, to keep us out of hell. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, a gift called salvation that you got to do is accept him and realize what Jesus did for us at Calvary. You know, do we really, really think and stop and think about how good that God thought about enough of us to send his only begotten son to this earth to die on a rugged cross for our sins? I don't understand that. I never will. But I thank him that he did. I mean, now I don't have to worry about going to hell. I'm on my way to heaven thanks to the blood. And Jesus, you know, he had a race to run in his life. Like I said, God sent him down here. I believe he looked over and he said, Father, mankind owes a debt below that only I can pay. He said, I'll be back. That song, I love it. But he gets up and he leaves the splendors of glory. Now, don't you think about this. He left heaven to come down here and walk among the people nearly 2,000 years ago and do all the miracles that he done and cure people, even raise the dead. My little old mind can't comprehend that, but I know it happened because it's in this book. Every word in this book is the true word of God. There ain't no one of them that ain't. And he left that. And he sat down here and he accomplished what the Father sent him to do his Father's will. That's why he came down here. Then he went to the cross. And he summed it up with these three words in John 19, verse 30. It is finished. He ran his race, driven by God the Father. Amen. And he finished his course and he ran his race. But the good thing about it, he didn't stay dead. Amen? He's still alive. After 3 days, he got up out of that tomb and rose, went back to be with his Father right now. And he's on the right hand of sitting there praising the Lord, glorifying God, his Father. And one day he's going to say, son, it's time. Go get my children. We're going home, folks. We ain't going to have to worry about politics. We ain't going to have to worry about no more cancer. None of that stuff. There is none of that in heaven. Bible says we'll be like him. We'll have a glorified body. I look forward to that. My old ugly body, I'm fat and ugly. But when I get one like him, I'll be just as white as snow. And I'm thankful for that today. And like I said, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a promise. What a promise the Lord has made every one of us. I mean, just think about that. This world's not our home. No matter what we go through down here, our health or whatever, this world's not our home. If you're saved, you're on your way to glory. You got a better home waiting. And then I wrote this down right here. There's only two roads that this life that we're living in has got. And you've got to choose one of them two roads, what you're going to do. Over in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 13, it says, enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth into destruction, and many there will be go there and without. Because straight is the gate, and there is a way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You know, straight is the gate. One of them leads to destruction. That's on your way to hell. I'm just being honest. And the other one, the straight gate, leads into heaven, the pearly gates. I want to stay on that straight and narrow gate road. I want to meet the Lord one day. thought about Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. It says, when we see Jesus, first four letters. Have you ever really got a hold of that? That thrills me. I'll get to see the Lord in person. And I know when I go around and I shake people's hands here at the church and tell them I appreciate them and I love them. And I do. I love all of you. But just think about when I get to shake a hand of Jesus and see them holes in his hands where they drove those nails. That they don't think I can handle. And I couldn't in this body. It's going to have to be a glorified body. And then it goes on, and I wrote this down right here. Them drivers, when they win a race, you know, they pull into victory lane. I'm glad I got victory, and it's through Jesus. Amen. And they get some things when they pull in there to victory lane. They'll get a big trophy, and it'll have their name on it and the name of the speedway where they won the race at. But have you ever really thought about this? Now, this is what I'm fixing to say. How many things that you can name off that your name is on? Your car title, your house, the DD, your driver's license. There's several things that your name is on. If you owe a bill, the light bill, or any bill, your name's on it. And all that's fine and dandy. But here's what I'm going to. There's one thing you need to make sure that your name is written on, and that's the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. You need to make sure that your name is written in there, and there ain't but one way to do that, and that's through the blood. Come and ask him to save you. And it goes down like this, and they'll get popularity for a little while. You know, people will say, well, Chase Elliott won the race. Woo! They get excited about it. Hey, Jesus is more to get excited about than any one of them drivers. We need to get excited about him because he's coming. I mean, I don't know why people won't worship like they're supposed to. I heard a friend tell me one time, you know, back before we got all this technology, Brother Tyler, we had TV antennas, you know, regular television. Now they got cable, satellite, and all this high technology. But one man told me one time, he said, when you praise the Lord, you raise your hand, wave it a little bit. But if you'll put two of them, wave it, you get a lot better reception. Amen. And when we get to heaven, it ain't going to be nothing but praising and shouting God. So we might as well just be like a band, just get down here and warm up while we're here. Praise the Lord and serve him. And, you know, I wrote this down right here. What will us Christians get when we leave this world? For better? You know, there ain't but one winner in a NASCAR. That's whoever takes a checkered flag. You finish second, it's the same as last. Ain't a bit of difference. But us as Christians, if we're saved, we're all winners. Every single one of us. And I like that part. I'm glad that, you know, I used to when I was younger and didn't have no sense and just doing things I shouldn't have done, I was stupid. I'd put myself down. I'd say, I ain't worth nothing. I mean, there's a point in time I got so down and out, it's pitiful. But when the Lord saved me, I become a child of his. I'm something now. Because I belong to God. I'm one of his children. Amen. And like I said, you know, what are we going to get? Well, listen to this. I want to read just a little bit of stuff here. In Revelation chapter 22, and John is writing here, this is just some of the things. And he showed me a pure river of water, life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Never seen a river like that. Every river I go to around here when I go fishing is polluted, full of trash. People drinking Pepsi bottles, throw them in the creek or the river. But just think about it, crystal. Crystal is clear. It's beautiful. You can see yourself in it. Well, that's what this river is going to be according to the Bible. And it says here in the midst of the street of it, and on either side was the river with the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were the healing of the nations. You know, I've never seen, I've got an apple tree in my yard. If I was to walk out there and see apples and bananas and oranges and all that growing on it, I wouldn't know what to say. But it says here that's true in heaven. There's 12 manners of fruit. And I can't wait, Brother Jim, till I get to heaven and I meet the Lord for the first time. He might say, son, let's go over here and get something off this tree and go put our feet in the river. Sit down and fellowship a little while. I mean, that's going to be fine and dandy. No more worries. We won't have to worry about it coming back and our loved ones is dead and gone. That's another thing. We get to heaven. We'll get to be with our loved ones that's gone on to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever, never to part again. And I wrote this down. Like I said in Hebrews 2:9, when we see Jesus. My. Here's some of the things that we're going to get when we get to heaven. Number one, we're going to have a heavenly home. Now, I don't know what y'all live in. I've never been to none of you's house except Marie and Bruce, I think. Or maybe a few more, and I forgot about it. But that's every one of us is blessed to have a roof over our head. Every one of us. I mean, when I grew up as a child, there's seven of us kids. We lived in an old house, and there's holes in the floor, cold as we is in the wintertime. I mean, you'd freeze to death. But we made it by the grace of God. All of us did. But just think about a heavenly home when you get home. It's yours, paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. That's who paid it for you. We don't have to do a thing. Then next in our oak down was a glorified body. I'll be glad to get that body. You know, we go in the prayer room, we have prayer, and I'll get down on my knees. And sometimes I have trouble getting back up because I'm getting old. I mean, we all are, really. Each day we live, we're getting that much closer to going home with the Lord. We're going to be home with Him. Every day we live, we're one step closer to going to eternity. And then I wrote down a robe of white. I like white. Because it means purity. It means just clean, purity. There ain't nothing no prettier than white if it's clean. And if it's dirty, it's pretty bad. And the next thing I wrote down is we'll get a crown to lay at Jesus' feet full of jewels. Amen. I can't wait till I get there. And I hope my crown is full. I don't want not one space to be empty in it. And I can kneel down at Jesus' feet and say, here, Lord, this belongs to you. Because He done it all for me. He done it all for you. But how much we take that for granted? We all do. We all get tied up in this world and I got to go do this, I got to go do that. And, you know, and I understand we have to do things in life. That's just, I mean, we have to work and do things. I mean, I don't like going to work, but I have to. That's just the way it is. But the Bible says if a man don't work, he don't eat. And I've worked ever since I was 13 years old. And God's blessed me. But the next thing I wrote down is we'll get to see and live with all our loved ones I mentioned earlier. And there'll be no more sin and sickness. A mansion. Streets of gold. I've never walked on something like that. But I will one day. And it's all because of the love of God. That's what it's all about. And then I wrote down the gates of pearl, the walls of jasper, the crystal river. And then we'll get in the end, and I like this part. I like it when we're all going to get to heaven. And God knows I ain't rode no horse in 45 years or longer. But I'm going to ride one day, a solid white one. And I'm going with the Lord in the battle of Armageddon, and we're going to put Satan where he belongs. We'll never have to worry about that again. Grab him by the seat of the breeches and just pitch him in the lake of fire. And he'll be there forever. But I want to close with this right here. How are we going to let the Lord drive us in our lives? What gets you excited? Think about it. I've been at work today and I've been just praying all day, said, Lord, help me preach. Touch me. Please help me. Because I don't claim to be a great preacher. I'm just trying to do what God called me to do. And just stand up and brag on him. That's what it's all about. Trying to win souls for his life, you know, for him. But I was so excited today at work, I just kept looking at the clock. Ain't it time yet to go home? Now, when you get like that, that's good. But when I got here to church tonight, I just come to the altar and there wasn't nobody here. I said, thank you, Lord, for getting me here and letting me allow to come and try to just say a few words for you on your behalf. But the Bible school we had, man, I'll tell you what, Luke, Gary, Brian, I want to say thank you. He's done an excellent job. That's one of the best Bible schools I've ever been in. And I reckon I've been about every one they've had here. But the best part was when them 21 children come and got saved. That's a blessing. It's worth it all, every bit of it. If one of them just got saved, it's worth it all. But let's pick up our lives and serve the Lord better. Let's do better than what we are. We can do better. I mean, all of us can. But I'm glad, you know, I thought about it. You're driven by the Lord coming up here. Every time you get on the road and get behind the wheel, God's with you. Count the cars you passed that didn't hit you. Think about that. I mean, the Lord is with you and lets you get here safely. But I appreciate God, appreciate the Lord for saving me. I do. And I'm glad that I woke up in October of 96 and realized what life was all about, and that's serving Jesus. It's the best thing I ever done. I mean, I thought I had it made and I was having good times, but I wasn't. I was just blowing my money and doing stuff I shouldn't be doing. And I finally woke up, and it's the best thing that I ever done. But let's be driven. Let's have that motivation. Let's get pumped up, get excited. You know, ball games and stuff like that, ain't nothing wrong with them. But if we can stand and holler at the football games on Friday nights, yeah, run, touchdown, touchdown, you know, why can't we shout about the Lord? That's more important than a ball game. Amen. I mean, sometimes I've gotten a spirit in here one time years ago, and the Lord told me to crawl around the church on my knees all the way around. I said, Lord, I can't do that. And then you tell him you can't do it, you'll end up doing it. Because, you know, he'll get you as much conviction, you'll have to. But I like it. I like it when the Lord says do something. If you'll do it, something will come out of it. I guarantee it. But let's just hang in there. I know the world's a mess, and it ain't going to get no better till Jesus comes. I'm just going to be honest with you. All this war and everything's taking place, it's a mess. But you know what? That's nothing but just this Bible right here fulfilling. That's all it is. Because that tells me that it ain't long before Jesus comes back. Let's stand. I appreciate y'all coming. Good to see y'all. I love you, every one of you.